Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening to all, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we go into your word this evening, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to be with us, to open our minds and our hearts, Father, to be receptive, and to give us a greater understanding of this, your word, so that we can have the truth to where we can grow strong in faith, Father, strong in our duties to you, and according to the word, doing what you want us to do. And Father, we thank the Holy Spirit for what he has brought to us from you and will impart to us as needed. And Father, if we have done anything this day in error or mistake, forgive us, Father, and let us know what it is so we don't do it again. Because, Father, we don't intentionally want to do anything that is sin or displeasing to you. Now be with us, Father, throughout the rest of this study. And I'm asking all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. All right, now, all that's going to partake of communion with us, I pray you've got everything ready. Well, if you have, get your bread. For as I have received of the Lord, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. this do in remembrance of me. Take your bread. Now get your cup. And after the same manner, also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. All right, everyone. We're going to be this evening back into 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We don't have too much more of that to go until we'll be through with it. We're getting up just about halfway there, I think. Now, chapter 5, we've got 21 verses. So let's see what the Lord has for us in these 21 verses. Verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In verse 2, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. 3, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Now this earthly house we're reading here about in verse 1, he's talking here in the sense of a terrestrial body, which is this humanly mortal body that we are now living in, that which is on the earth. You know, and the tabernacle is best rendered as tent, as far as the word goes. But we know that what he's talking about here is the figure has reference to a body. And its transcendent character. In the building of God, a house, eternal, is a reference to the resurrection body that is sometimes associated with the redemption of the body, which is eternal. And we know it as the celestial body. And we all look forward to the day, or should be looking forward to the day, that we will be in that body. For there'll be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more crying, no more pain. Because we'll be there with the Lord Jesus Christ and the angels of Almighty God to perform the work there also that he is wanting of you and I. These are things we should always look forward to and give us a reason for every day, starting our day with Lord, I thank you for this day. I give you praise and honor and glory for it. And Father, give to me what you want me to have and to do this day. And then begin looking at his word and listening for his voice to guide you along the way, so that the day is spent according to his will and his way, not ours. These are things that you and I need in our lives so that we can make heaven our home. Otherwise, we can split hell wide open and end up with it, Satan and his bunch, and all that has rejected the Lord Jesus in that lake of fire. All right. Now, verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Always looking for this mortality to be swallowed up by life, life eternal. And the only way we can do that is by going to the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting, being forgiven for our sins, being baptized, putting on his death, his burial, his resurrection, and walking in that newness of life and seeking the infilling, the baptism, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, so that we can become born again. When that happens, the Lord God is with us. He'll always be with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. All right. Now, 5. Now he that has wrought us with the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, you see, we walk in this life with our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing he is there with us and that we are in him also. But we don't physically see him, but we know he's there. Now, 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Well, we find that not everyone is ready for that. And today, what we live with, most of mankind don't want no part of it, because it cuts in to their way, and it would cost them things that they absolutely do not want to turn loose of. 9, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. You see, this is the thing mankind must do. He must seek the things and the way of knowing that he is a child of the living God. And you can know it by fulfilling the plan of salvation as it was set down to us to fulfill. 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the thing done in this body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. You see, there'll be a time and day that we are all going to appear before that judgment seat of Christ. Now, when you appear before that, is it going to be that you're meeting there where you have been ashamed of his name, where you have been too ashamed to be associated with it, and that you're still filled with pride? Think about these things. 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. 12, for we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in part. Now, 13. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for our cause. You see, in knowing the terror of the Lord, we are to persuade men and try to do everything we can to get them to a saving knowledge of the Lord our God. Now, for whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. 14. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Oh, you have to be very careful with things that way. You see, we're not all dead, because he died for us. And that's why all are not dead. The Lord Jesus Christ took that death upon himself. 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You see, Paul is putting it very, very plain here in that verse. 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, Yet now henceforth know we him no more. We're told we don't know him anymore. Not in the flesh. That's what Paul's talking about. We now live in him spiritually, and he lives in us spiritually. But not, we don't know him in the flesh. We know of him. We know things he did while in the flesh. But he has gone on now to intercede for you and I so that we will have that way of making heaven our home. 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Once you become that child of God, you are a new creature. Those old things, your old ways, the places you used to go, the things you used to do, are all gone. And you have new things to lay out ahead that will help to lead and guide you into the kingdom of Almighty God. And you are looking forward to your work as given to you by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, and to be able to walk with his power at work through you in completing the things that has been set before each and every one of us. All right. Pardon me. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You see, we go to God through Jesus, and that's the only way we can reach the Father. Because when he died on that cross and his resurrection, that veil was torn in two that gave us a way of going straight to the Father. We don't have to go through any other preaching man. No. Those that are my members don't have to come to me today to go to the Lord God in prayer. But there was a time they did, before that veil was torn in two. They had to go to that priest, and then he would go for them. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ did it. He did it all for us. He took care of all of it, and he tore that veil down so that you and I have the right and the privilege to go and stand before our Heavenly Father and talk straight with him. Now, 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You see, when we become that born-again child of God, we have been reconciled back to the Father. We came from Him, and now we are being reconciled back to Him. We came from Him when He put us in our mother's womb. I know there's a lot of you don't want to believe that. And there's a lot of you that just won't believe. But it's truth, and it's all in God's Word. And if you'll spend more time in God's Word instead of the things of this world, you'll learn these things, because the Spirit will guide you to all that you need in order to be that born-again child of the living God. And that born-again child of the living God does not commit sin. No, he doesn't. And that is gospel truth. You find that in 1 John chapter 3. I'm not going there. I've been there several times and read it to you. I'll let you go read it for yourself. Now, but he's letting us know here that all of this has been done so that we, and one day the world will be reconciled back to God. It will all be His. There'll be no more sin. No more of this individuality. It'll all, you and I, and all that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and all, will be with Him and the angels. And the whole world will be controlled and governed by Him. Now, 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. He is wanting you to be reconciled to God. 21. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And you know, Paul then, he imputes sin to Christ, the spotless Lamb of God. Finally, God imputes the righteousness of Christ to the sinner's account. And this truth may be viewed from the side of justification, whereby the sinner is declared righteous based on the merits of Jesus Christ. Or it may be viewed from the side of sanctification, wherein the righteousness of Christ is daily applied. This latter sense is probably in view here and compared. You see, we can see a lot of things, but it's hard to really see these final things. And only, we are only able to reach this through the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. He is the one that is witness to to guide us, to be our comforter, and to help us with the knowledge. But we do everything, and we receive everything through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that is the work of the Spirit. The Spirit lifts up the Lord Jesus. That's what he does. And that's what he does with us and through us. That we must receive everything through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have now come to the end of chapter 5. We will be stopping here. God willing, be picking up in the morning with chapter 6. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, I told your word, Father, and I thank you for this word. I love your word, Father. I love the things I know from it. I love the things it's led me into and to be able to do, Father, and the things it has brought, to me to speak with others about, to share with others, to see life's change from evil to a time of becoming sin-free, coming out of darkness, that darkness of Satan, and coming to the light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ, giving us each, Father, a reason and a way to reach out to you, to serve you. Father, I pray for Israel. Pray for peace to them. And I pray that they all will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, for their Messiah. In this land of ours, Father, I pray that those that have been, that are sitting in these high places in our government, that has brought this evil upon us, and that has took Jesus out of all the places he was in, and these judges that's gone along with him, all being replaced, Father, each and every one of them, to be taken out of office and replaced with those that serve you, that serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, and that will love your church, your people in this land, and work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundations in which it was founded, that being your word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for all that's on my prayer list and in my heart this night. You know each and every one. So Father, I bring them each to you and ask that as we close out this evening, Father, that we can all go in health, in safety, and that you'll bring us back together again in the morning at 10 a.m. and back into your word. Father, it is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless now. Have a good day or a good evening. And I praise to be with you in the morning.